Why Jesus? Why all the talk of crucifixions and the resurrection of the dead? The idea that our present reality can be radically transformed by one historical day from antiquity? Why does this one event persist to shake nations, stands against kingdoms, relentlessly remaining there in every test in time? Why does the life of one rabbi bring hope to the billions and peace beyond understanding, peace even in facing death? His axioms transcend culture, moving between and among every generation, offering new grace with each day to the poor and to the rich, to the young and to the old, each who calls his name. This is not just a page between the chapters of history, neither myth, metaphor, nor a line of spectacular exaggeration. His influence on every human life story is unfit to be placed into any existing category. No, Jesus isn't written into our story. Rather, our story is written into his. Every authority, even the grave, obeys his sovereign will. This is why we exalt the mighty name of Jesus over and over and over again. His victory has given us life. His mercies stand at the center of our faith. He alone holds the pen of history. He is the one true God, and at that, a God who died for us. Why rejoice? Why is this our anthem? The answer for why Jesus comes down to this. Jesus is at the center. His victory over the grave is written into every line. Between old and new, between death and life, there stands one historical reality, the resurrection of Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and keep that applause going for the Lord. Man, the Lord is in the house, and he's always happy that when you just show up to show our love and appreciation for what he's done. Good morning once again, especially our online audience. Paul Harmon here, pastor of Hope Chapel. Thank you for making this journey with us this day, and many of you on the Eastern Seaboard. This is our 10:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time service. So it's going to be a great setting here, and it's a privilege that we have to be together. And I want to thank each and every one of you. It's such a delight to bring the Word of the Lord, really on an Easter Sunday. And so I just want to make sure before we proceed, we do have some seats and people are still trickling in. So if you happen to see a few people moving in, sometimes it's kind of nice to either do the SOS, which means scoot over some. That'd be helpful. So on the walls, just over a little bit more. So a few seats on the side would be helpful. Or even kind of slide on into the center, which would be a really big help. So it's wonderful. Here we are. It's great. We get an opportunity, if you received your bulletin card going forward, you'll get a chance. This is how we kind of roll. We want to make sure that God's going to speak to all of us something, somehow, somewhere. And it'd be fun that you take notes and kind of lay it on out and just log that. So it's going to be important that we get a chance to journey together. Hope that you had a chance to enjoy some free lattes, some coffee from Surfer's Coffee in our courtyard, now set inside, free donuts. And especially for bringing your children here this morning for the Easter egg hunt. How great is that? We do have a photographer. You're going to see this angelic face, white clothes, camera mounted right there coming on in. Make sure, please, that you get a photograph of yourself at least, maybe the persons or family that you came with, because we find that that becomes a documented element of history. We're going to look back over the years and say, whoa, I was there at Huntington Beach on Easter Sunday, and I think it's going to be important. We, Ainsley and I, have been here 22 years, and you are all looking younger and younger, and it's just great that we get a chance to kind of document, but your children seem to be skyrocketing. So that's always important we get a chance. So welcome Huntington Beach, welcome Orange County, and certainly welcome so many from other states. It's a great opportunity we have today. Well, you know, it wouldn't be Pastor Paul's launch without kind of sharing a story. And I heard a cute one about really a dialogue with this kind of an elderly lady. And so they were wanting to make sure she believed in life after death. And she said, absolutely, I do. Matter of fact, my four husbands have prepared me for that. And they, oh, how does that work? So, well, my first husband was a millionaire. And my second husband, well, he was an actor. My third husband, well, he was a minister, and now I'm married to a mortician. And so, well, tell me a little bit more. What's all about here going on? And she said, well, one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, huh? And four to go. There you go. Yeah, yeah. That's planning ahead, don't you think? Yeah. You know, we have a cute little letter that came to us, and this letter is from the Department of Health and Human Services. It's not your typical letter, but it said this in a kind way. It said to the person in Greenville County, South Carolina, your food stamps will be stopped effectively March 1st because we received notice that you passed away. It's a nice one. And they didn't even ask why, but they said, just in case you want to reapply if your circumstances change, please do. I think that's pretty funny. Maybe they're thinking something's going to change, or they believe in the resurrection. Ooh, come on. And that's what we're taking a look at today. Today's message, you'll see, it's called The Empty Tomb. The Empty Tomb. We're going to take a look at the account from one of the gospel writers, Matthew. It's in Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Before we read that text too, it is worth noting, it's interesting because something about the resurrection is so powerful for people because it gives us once again something to latch onto that would bring hope and anticipation of comfort for life after death. It's so important. You know, there are people that still, they may not have gravitated or hung on to Jesus as the true Savior like you have, but they're still out there being told this very story every year. So maybe you're 12 years of age, and you've gone through 12 Easter Sundays. Every year, our nation and around the world celebrate Easter, the resurrection. Somewhere it's beyond those Easter eggs or that bunny. So every person on this planet, isn't that interesting to note? Not only for Christmas, because that's once a year. Man, the stories are going out every year. So if you're like 72, you've had 72 opportunities to say, man, here I am again, confronted with the reality, everybody's celebrating about this dude's resurrection. So if you're concerned about your loved ones or people that you know, I don't know if they've ever heard, man, every year. However Easter has come to them, they've been told. Well, we get this opportunity, and we get some good news, do we not? 300 references, over 300 references in the Bible about the resurrection of Jesus, and especially in the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles after Jesus' ascension into glory. That was their main testimony about the resurrection. That gave validity to everything they would believe in. And they would, every one of the 12 and beyond, would give their lives as martyrs for what they believed. They saw the resurrection. Now, it's called good news, what Jesus has done for us. Good news. Have you given good news to anybody, especially those who are negative? Do you have anybody that's negative in your life? You try giving them two good, positive, good news items. You know what happens? Man, they get a brain cramp. They're not into good news. It's all negative for them. It's very difficult for people who are negative to consider something positive. This is really a great message called the resurrection of Jesus. It affects you and me. It's important. So as we are about to read this story, let me just ask the Lord, Lord, we already know you're here, and we already know you're going to do some great things right now. So those great things can only happen by your doing, by the power of God. So, Lord, we pray, just move, especially through those who are watching through their devices. Lord, move right into their setting in Jesus' name. So Matthew chapter 28, verse 1 through 10, reading from the New Living Translation, which reads, early on Sunday morning. What day is it? Ah, I could see it. I sense it, don't you? Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. Now, let's take a look at that just for a moment. It's interesting to note, this is a legitimate angel sighting. There are angels mentioned in the scripture all over both the Old Testament and the New. Plenty of them. The Greek for angel is the word angelos. It means really a messenger or a declarer or assistant area. So it's interesting. Here we have an angel, and it must have been, that angel must have been quite intimidating because everybody in that perimeter is fearful. Face like lightning? Come on. Now that's cosmetic. White clothing? Something about that. And you know, angels were always around Jesus' involvement. How about the birth? Christmas morning. How about even those areas where he is just agonizing in the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing what he's about to face for you? Here we have even that area where he was tempted and the angels rushed in to assist him after he was being accosted by Satan himself. And here at the tomb, an angel shows up. It's pretty amazing. Now, I don't know if you believe in angels. I don't know if you've come across angels. We always have people, every now and then, you know, you come across social media. Yeah, there's an angel sighting at Gus's Burger. Really? Come on. Oh, well, it was a person that paid for my meal. It must have been an angel. But this is the real deal. And I believe they're in this room right now. They're in this room. And you often, Scripture says in Hebrews, you've probably entertained a few and you didn't even know them. But this one, this angel, quite intimidating, obvious, we see here. Verse 3 again, his face shone like lightning and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear. When they saw him, they fell into a dead faint. Now, these guards are not just kind of, there's typically, if it was a Roman setup, there are 16 guards fully armed. And they would take shifts, four at a time, and the others would sleep into the center. And you know, if they reported that what they were guarding somehow escaped, it was death by burning with all their clothes on. So this is a legit, something's going on. And when the scripture says that they just fell into a dead faint, now, come on, I kind of like that, you who are Pentecostal persuasion, a charismatic following. When we do these, prayer lines, and sometimes people get a little woozy. Sometimes we call it like, oh, they went under the power. Have you heard that term? That's a churchy term. Or they just fainted straight away. Or they collapsed in the spirit. Ooh, but it's pretty wild. But we have one recorded here. I don't think these guys just like, you get bad news at the doctor's office. Ooh. Power of God coming down in that setting. And we see as it goes on, verse 5, then the angel spoke to the women. Don't be afraid, he said. I know you're looking for Jesus who is crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come, see where his body was lying, and now go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you. Now, that's an important addition, too, because you recognize so much of the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These individuals, they're writing what they saw. Sometimes they say, well, that's just a little bit different. It's kind of like four different people on the street corner, and you see a collision going on, and one's riding. Well, I saw the turn signal. The other one, I saw they didn't brake at all, but they're riding what they saw. Here the angel says, remember what I've told you. And let me tell you, they're probably talking it up, and it gets logged here for our reading enjoyment. Remember what I have told you, verse 8. The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy, and they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there. Now, most are aware as you read your Bible, you recognize, especially in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts of the Apostles. The early church started up. The church, Jesus said, I'm going to build my church upon this rock of confession of you, Peter, saying, I am the Christ. I'm going to build my church, and I'm going to protect my church, and the gates of hell won't barge against it. So it's important that we get a chance. Those apostles went out in the book of Acts, and chapter 1 says that Jesus appeared for 40 days. So it wasn't just a Sunday morning visitation. It was an all-on 40 days. Scripture talks about over 500 people saw him. So that was a big deal, and it continues to be today. Look at the transformed lives that are in this room, you as well. Something happened on that day. So when we take a look here, we see here that the ladies went into the graveyard early in the morning before it was day. Now, if you are like me, I'm not morbid, but I do like going into graveyards. Do you like that? There is one that I drag Ainsley into in Oregon. It's called Granite Hill. Doesn't that sound scary? Oh, man. It's an old one. I mean, Civil War monuments leaning. It's in the back hill. I mean, there's little weeds and straws swinging in the breeze and uncut trees laying low. I said, sweetie, let's go back into the hills there after dark. She goes, no way. Can you imagine? It's like, let's do this. You know, you can imagine you go back there and all of a sudden things are blowing in the breeze and you hear something like, hello, puppet. No. So it's helpful for us to remind, man, in this setting, these ladies go there and the temple guards fall away. We're told also in this chapter in verse 12 and 13 when they report that, man, that tomb is open and he's not there. They were paid to lie. So it's listed there. And that story in that day was continuing on. But when we take a look here, there's some things that the angel actually said that's very important to us. And we see clearly, and he said, come and see so that you can go and tell. So let's just break that down a little bit. Point one on your notes, come into the tomb. Now, I like the word come. I think it's one of the great words of the Bible. Jesus used that often. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Come. Oh, I love that. Remember when the disciples are trying to shoo the children away? Hey, he says, this is what the kingdom of God is like. Let the little children come unto me. For such is the kingdom of God. Rich young ruler, how do I inherit this thing called life? He said, well, you come, follow me. You'll have treasure in heaven. Man, that word come is so good. It is so good. I remember hearing that word come. Now, it wasn't like an audible voice, but I remember when I felt like God was saying, Paul, you need to come now, come now. You who are here, you remember that day. You could probably remember the setting. I felt God saying or moving me to come forward for him. Do you remember that day? Just remember that day. God said, come. And that's why you're here today. Maybe this is the first time here. you've ever been in really church. I think that's pretty radical, and I'm excited about that. So when we take a look here and the importance of that, because the disciples, it's important, come. Number two, we take a look, see the place where the Lord lay. It's important, too, because they're going to go on in. These ladies are going to go see. It's interesting that word see is the Greek word, where it literally means go in, investigate, go in and experience. Go in, we would say, and check it out. So it's not just, hey, I see. I mean, you are locked in and seeing what is going on. Pretty powerful. When you get a chance and you say something's happening here or something just transpired here, come and see where the Lord lay. That's an amazing thing. Now, when the angel rolled back the stone, that was not to let Jesus out. How many know that? No way. He had a different body. It's going to be a body like you and I. We are going to all have a resurrection. All of us will have a resurrection. We just choose on this earth where you're going to go after that resurrection. But you're going to have a changed body. Jesus is our perfect example. You know that in everything. His resurrected body. Remember the disciples? They're shuddering behind closed doors. They're afraid of the authorities because they just arrested and hung out and killed their leader. And then Jesus showed up. Behind walls, Jesus showed up through locked doors. So our body is going to be pretty radical. But the angel rolled back the stone to let the ladies in to see. Whoa. Has God been rolling back some things in your life so you can finally see? Maybe God has been going off on your life for all these years. Yes. Can you see? Has something been pulled back? That's the mercy of God. He sent somebody or sent something or gave you another lease, a few more weeks, maybe a couple more years, only tops, and you see clearly some of the days that are ahead. So we can see here, they were invited to see, letter A, see the humility of Christ. The humility because Ainsley and I, we've led many of you to Israel. And when we go into what they describe as the garden tomb, and you go into this little rock cutout, it's pretty difficult to imagine the God of all creation was in that little room. Whoa. And the humility of Christ himself coming because you are so important to him. Giving his life. Wow. Imagine God of all creation inhabiting that tomb. Also, B, you see the reality of sin. You know, sometimes we forget how bad sin is. I find unbelievers, people that are not going to follow Jesus, they have no interest in Jesus, they don't even think sin's an issue. We remember those old times when we were just trafficking in sin. What is sin? Well, whatever you know to do and you don't do it, James says that's a sin. But let's at least lay out the Ten Commandments. Some of us may not remember that. We could even be violating that. So sometimes we forget how bad sin is. Jesus knows how bad sin is. That's why he came. Jesus came to dealt with sin. Boy, I'm so glad. And what's powerful about that is that there are many, I have many books of noble deaths, people that have died gallantly. Oh, man, that's the way I want to write off. Yeah, charge. But none of them does it say died for Paul Harmon. Only Jesus. Only Jesus died for you. That's a big deal. When Jesus came, can you imagine the reality of sin? Isaiah 53 says that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we're healed. That's why we believe in divine healing. That healing took place like communion on his body. Let's go for all the gusto. God has given so much. So the humility of Christ, the reality of sin. Letter C, see the mortality of men. You know, there's something about the passing of time, and I start to see more of my family and people I love in church and fellowship. They've gone on to glory. They're no longer here. They will not come back to this planet. There'll be a day of a new earth and a new heaven, and that's going to be a second coming of Christ. It's written. But Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed unto men once to die, then after that the judgment. So we have an appointment. You and I may not know when that's going to happen. God does, though. God knows. And what would be the next big event for you and me? Well, that's when we stand before the Lord. Just evaluate, how did you live your life? How did you take advantage of those many Easter days? Did you acknowledge God? Did you step into the reality that maybe Christmas is more meaningful than going into debt with gift giving? So it's going to be important we get a chance to recognize the mortality. And then the C also, letter D, the victory over death. Boy, I'm telling you, it's amazing. Jesus isn't there. The proof of his resurrection leads everyone I know that's seriously following Jesus completely free from bondage. There's interesting areas because people are still kind of wrestling with what big deal is Jesus? And there's something about him when you really kind of dive in to say, did he really exist? And how significant is that one life? Well, there's really three things I have landed on that really makes an impact for me. And one is that the existence of Jesus coming from heaven to earth to live for 33 years marks the calendar date. There was a time we did the BC before Christ. Remember that? And the AD after dominion, after his dominion. Now they've changed it to another thing, but BC. His coming was so significant, everyone on this planet knew that that date took place. And this book, how amazing is this book? Brilliant minds, much more brilliant than me for sure, have tried to attack this book, and here it is still today. Still stands today. It's incredible. And I just want to just admire this because it's so inspired by God. Cover to cover, it's about this Jesus we're talking about. That it has predictive prophecies, thousands of them, about Israel, about the coming of Jesus. There are 26 other books that declare, that claim to be religious books or books from a deity or God, but they do not have predictive prophecy. One word spoken by a prophet, weeks, years later, comes to pass. For Jesus, though, out of those thousands of predictive prophecies in the Bible, Jesus was fulfilling 330 of those same prophecies that describe what he would be like, what he would do. Man, 330. Now, you might say, well, that's okay. There's a guy named Peter Stoner in his book, Logistics and the Laws of Probability, saying this as he lays it out, that one life fulfilling 330 prophecies in that one life, the probability of that even happening without one glitch is 1 in 10 to the 57th power. That's a big number. What would that look like if you just wrote it out? That's the number one, comma, and then lay out 57 zeros. Try it on a piece of paper. It's absolutely impossible. So he has to be Jesus. Oh, man. I'm so glad I'm not wasting my life. I really think he's the one. He's the one. He's so changed my life, I just can't stop telling people about him. He's real. He's alive. And so when we say here, we can see so clearly that the Bible says Go, number three, quickly. Go quickly. It's interesting here because the other thing about his resurrection from the dead is so important. Nobody has come back from the dead. Jesus is the first of many. So I mentioned three. That was the third one. That's a big one. And you will have that resurrection as well. So go quickly, the angel said. Now, I love that element. When Ainsley and I have gone into the garden setting in Israel, it's amazing because you sit there, it's tranquil, it's beautiful, but you know, you got to get out of there somewhere. And eventually it's like, I've seen all, I've experienced all, I'm ready to go. I think they got it to go, and the word is quickly. Want to just add that for us today. You go and tell somebody quickly what you've experienced. Who knows if there's going to even be next month? You do not know that. You do not know that. You and I know people that we would hope that everything remains the same. Our marriages would be perfect and last forever. Family, kids, everybody around us. But life changes. Situations are abrupt. Health interrupts. That's why I go quickly. Don't waste time. You don't know if there's going to be another Easter. We are looking at, as we look at the scripture, the nation of Israel is our biological clock. Jesus said in his word in Matthew 24, you check out that olive tree, keep your tabs on there, because when you see these signs happening, know that my return is near. Go quickly. Go quickly. Don't be a gambler thinking, well, somebody else will tell them. And then number four, tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. That he's risen from the dead. It's very important. So when we take a look here, even Jesus, when they met Jesus on the way, he said, rejoice, but would still go and tell my disciples. There's something that's powerful about that. About going and telling people. I want to just now just share that. We just take a focus now. I always enjoy reminding people, telling people. I'm finding there are those at times, from time to time, that are just dissatisfied. They say that they're trusting God, but they're discontented. I don't know how that works. Really, discontentment literally will cause that person to just say, you know, I don't like what I'm doing in my life. I don't know how a person can say, well, I'm trusting God, but I'm discontent where I'm at. They're trusting God to move them somewhere else. Contentment really comes by knowing and experiencing Jesus. And you can be just about anywhere in any relationship and watch God win it for you right where you're at. It's a big deal when we get a chance. See, sometimes people complain, I don't like it here. I'm really disappointed with what God's allowed in my life. We get it. When we hear stories, we get it. But see, when we complain, it'll hold us back from where God really wants us to experience some things. So I just want to mark the occasion on this glorious day. Watch out over complaining. Be careful about that. We are so enjoying such a luxurious life in the Orange County area. But sometimes people still declare, my life is not very good. They're kind of pitiful. They're kind of like having chips on their shoulders. They want to be powerful, but you can't be powerful and be pitiful at the same time. God wants to do a miracle. Something about that where we just trust the Lord and he becomes our contentment. You know, compassion is really pity properly displayed. I have compassion on you. I find self-pity is idolatry. It just really focused on myself, can't get over myself. It paralyzes. It's crippling people. God wants to set people free. It's very powerful when that happens. It's amazing when God takes place in what he's doing even now among us. I want to encourage us and believe the Lord to set people free, especially online. Maybe you're following us and listening on a device or watching online. Or maybe you're here in the chapel with us right now, and I want to make sure that you have an opportunity. You've come. Remember, Jesus says, come. You've come. But you've never really come to the Lord to have forgiveness of sins and to invite him to be the Lord and Savior of your life. That's what we would like to see happen right now. There's something that's beautiful and wonderful. And for those who may have been just kind of wandering, boy, I just know the Lord is so welcoming. He knows everything about us. He still loves us, knows everything about us, and wants to just welcome us back home. There's something that's dynamic in a relationship between you and Jesus. God wants to enjoy a great going home one day, celebrating and welcoming you. He's done everything to get things ready. So you might be a churchgoer, possibility of you just being very religious and devoted, but you have never professed Christ as your own Savior and Lord. Let's do that today. I'm inviting you, if you're here and you've never given your lives to the Lord, are you ready? I'm going to ask you just simply, I want to pray with you. We're going to pray together, but if you need to surrender your life and experience something that's so radical, you're ready for a change. You're bored with things, maybe troubled with the past. God will set you free. But you're ready to receive the Lord. Would you just put your hand up and say, Pastor Paul, I'm ready to give my life to the Lord. I see that hand. Anyone else? Thank you. Anyone else? Just put your hand up. Put it on down. Thank you. Anyone else? You who are at home, don't let maybe disruptions happen. God's here with us. You might just say, well, do I have to kind of acknowledge it? I'll tell you, there's something powerful. You lift that hand up, you're going to find, man, things rupture in the heavenlies. So if anyone else just say, I really want to give my life to the Lord and join these other five hands. See that hand? You can put that down. Thank you. Anyone else? Praise God. Then let me lead us in a prayer. This is very important. Simple prayer. I don't know what language God speaks in heaven. Could be German, could be Spanish. But I do know if you believe this in your heart, God will forgive you of your sins and come into your life. You'll know it. You will know it. Romans 10, 9 and 10. You confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart. God raised him from the dead. Scripture says, you will be saved. So there's two kinds of death we're dealing with. We can't stop the physical death, but we're going to stop the spiritual death that's wiping some of us out. And it's through the power of Jesus. So let's just close our eyes right now. Let me lead this prayer out loud. And you, for the sake of these five hands, maybe more, let's all pray this prayer out loud. It goes like this. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. That you are the Savior of the world. And I confess to you now that I have sinned. And I'm sorry, Lord, for all my sins. And I ask you, Jesus, come into my life. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and be my Savior. I'm going to trust you, Jesus. For eternal life with you. Now, Lord, let your life come into me. Drive out the death. Drive out the despair. Get me clear from depression. Let me hear your voice. I want to follow you, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Glory to God. We thank the Lord for you. Praise God. Man, Jesus. Praise God. Well, we are still going to close off this wonderful gathering. What a great resurrection day for us. We have a special number, and I'm so thrilled that our worship band led by Pastor Sean Manutel and our choir led by Melanie Pickens is going to bring a special number to us right now. Voices of Hope, and thank you, Melanie Pickens, for directing our choir. We also want to thank Pastor Sean Manutel and our worship band. Hasn't that just... Way to go, way to go. Thank you. And I want to just a couple of announcements and just make sure that you are fully engaged and fully welcome to come back. My wife, Ainsley, and I want to extend next Sunday. We're going to be having Meet the Pastors. And so we recognize so many people are coming on into Hope Chapel, and we want to just be able to just capture those aha moments. And because every community needs a local church, every community needs a local pastor, like a dentist or a doctor. Can I just throw that out there? Please come. You can sign up online. You could go with the QR code and just ask for those online MailChimp emails as well. Reminders, please. We'd like to get better acquainted. Also, this service next week, we're going to be having a water baptism. So if you have within your heart, you didn't raise your hand, don't worry about that. Because the big celebration is to just let everybody know through the example of the death in the water, resurrection out of the water, example through water baptism as a Christian. If you've ever given your life to Jesus and have never been water baptized, that probably says something. Why don't we go ahead and sign up, call the office or sign the clipboard. That's also going to be happening. So next Sunday, it's like part two of today. We're glad about that. Also, to continue on with the fun and joy, I believe there's still coffee going off in the Surfers Coffee Bar in the courtyard inside. Also, donuts, please feel free. What I do want to invite you to do is that so many, I'm not sure how many brown bags of hope, but what this is non-perishable food items, water, areas, granola bars, for our houseless community. So would you take at least two, put them behind, like I do, your vehicle seat, and when you see somebody that you just know is living on the streets, that you would provide them a meal. And so that's called Brown Bags of Hope. We would like to see you kind of journey with us. There's going to be people that never come in. Thank you. Thank you. Well, you warm those hands up so you can now grab a bag. How's that? That's great. Well, I'm going to invite you to please stand. Would you stand? What a joy it's been for Ainsley and me. And I want to thank your families for bringing you, or let's just believe the Holy Spirit brought you. If you have not visited our photographer by that funky circular stairway is the backdrop. And make sure you get yourself under those balloons. Those resemble a good egg that you are, and your head's going to fit right in there perfect. It's yes. So please, let's capture the moment. Say, honey, it's kind of like a wedding reception. Oh, I didn't know that person was there. Did you see that? Anyway, we're going to log you in heaven, and please let us know if you surrendered your life to Jesus. What a great way to begin your journey here at Hope Chapel. And what a great city. This city is amazing. And next year, we're going to be able to celebrate the beach sunrise service that weather didn't permit. So I've been directing that for 22 years, and it's never been canceled except for COVID. So this is the first time. So we're going to believe it's going to go off next Easter, but it's special that you're here. So with that, let's go ahead and just cup your hands as if there's one last blessing coming your way. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for the great way with which you have brought both Hope Chapel and Jesus' house together. Lord, we bless this wonderful gathering of your followers. And for those who have surrendered their lives to you or recommitted their lives to you, then Lord, let their journey be wonderful. Let them accelerate in spiritual growth. May the power of Almighty God visit our home and our settings. Let those that are having trouble sleeping rest well and feel right at peace. Those that are finding their journey challenging and they feel alone and isolated, maybe even very, very afraid, remove those things, Lord. As we go now, you're the one that says, do not be afraid. I am with you wherever you go. And we bless each and every one in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Happy Easter, Resurrection Day. You're dismissed.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.